don't know. I have these strange dreams. In New Mexico and Albuquerque, and I woke up in the middle of the night with dreams that I don't quite remember. Odd things. This morning I had a dream of Peter. In this dream, he was ill. We lived in some kind of odd town or city that really didn't feel anything like New York. Although a lot of people from New York were in it. And there was some guy who I was becoming friendly with and talking personally about my feelings about Peter, too. But in this sleep, there was this one moment. Peter, just in the whole dream, just was angry all the time, and rejecting me all over the place. And I'm going to have some coffee and I'll continue. Anyway, in this one part of the dream, Peter was missing from his place or something, and I couldn't, nobody seemed to know where he was. And I know there's something going on in his house, I think, that was bothering him. Something about the building, or not thinking that people cared, or something going on. I mean, it wasn't very clear, but anyway, I was walking down the street in this sort of claustrophobic neighborhood, and there was this, like what looked like the back of a theater or something. Maybe it was his house. And there were all these bums and stuff, like hanging out, sleeping on this concrete platform. It was almost like a loading dock. And only the loading dock was covered with water, pools of water, so it was like all these homeless people sleeping in pools of water. And and then suddenly I realized one of them was Peter. And I got really scared. I thought maybe he was dead. And I ran over him and started and I put my hands on his shoulder and bent down and I just pushed him slightly to, and kept calling his name out, and finally opened his eyes, and he seemed sort of relieved that somebody would come looking for him, and but then he just became kind of angry and abusive, and all the other parts of the dream, he was just very nasty to me, and rejecting, and I don't really remember why. It was just, it seems something about the way I did things he didn't like, but then no matter what I did, he didn't seem to like it. And anyway, I got him to go to a doctor. We went to this doctor, and who was this woman, and he was saying, oh no, I can wait, why don't you examine David first? And I was saying, well, I'm not here to get examined. I mean, if I need to go to a doctor, I'll go to one later, but yeah, Peter, you need to get examined. And he said something like, I don't do shit. And that he was like feeling terrible because he doesn't do shit. And the doctor said, oh, you don't shit? And I looked at Peter and I was like, does he have this problem again that he can't shit? And I remember him having that before he died. And he was going, no, it's just that I don't do shit. I just lay around all the time. I don't do shit. And the dream shifted to some other part. But at some point he was, I saw Philip and Alan, or at least Alan and Vince Aletti at some point. And Alan was going to do a painting on a wall for Michael Stewart, but he wanted to do it way up on this wall, and somehow I showed him this thing that if I turned on this lamp, like a little battery-operated lamp in the street, I could illuminate the side of the building. And I started describing to him, oh, you should do this and put it in a milk carton on top of the building and illuminate the painting all night long. And then the dream shifted somewhere else, but earlier I was, remember going down this hill with a bicycle, like walking the bike. I was near a waterfront, and all of a sudden I found myself surrounded by, looking across the street, I saw a bunch of kids, a gang, surround some guy and start mugging him. And as I was walking along, I suddenly realized that I was being surrounded. It was like Oriental kids and black kids and white kids and very, very savage looking guys. I mean, I immediately got grabbed from behind. I was holding onto the bike and they were trying to pull the bike away. And as I was trying to hold onto the bike, about three or four more started coming up towards me and surrounding me. And I thought, well, shit. And they were like, all right, he doesn't want to let it go. And then I just went, here, take it, and thrust it out. And I had all this money that I have on this trip here in Albuquerque, in cash in my pockets. And then they started like trying to reach into my pockets. The guy who grabbed me from behind let me go. But then the others started like coming up to my face and reaching in my pockets. And I resisted, and I kept moving while they were trying to dig into my pockets, and I kept pushing their hands away and saying, look, man, you got my bike, leave me alone. And there I looked in the doorway of this bar or liquor store or something. I was going to go in, maybe get some help. And because I really just didn't want to give up the money, I figured I'd never get out of where I was if I didn't have any money. But when I looked in the door of the liquor store, the place was just filled with these people sort of teeming around and looking outside for new people to mug. And the entire inside of the store was plexiglass off so that they couldn't rob the owners. But it was like all these people using it as a hangout. It's pretty horrifying. But anyway, later in the dream about Peter, I was talking to somebody about Peter, and about his anger and everything else, and I just said, look, I just can't take this shit anymore. I said, you know, he died once already, and I brought him back. I forget what that was, but I described him having stopped breathing, and then I started pushing on his chest and trying to bring him back, and then he came to, and he said, and that he became very angry at me that I didn't let him die. That I brought him back. And so I was talking to this person about this, and I just said, look, I just don't want to go through this. I can't. His anger, I mean, he seems like he hates me, and it was like I was trying to reach something well, either I would love him anyway and help him anyway, no matter how much he hated me, or at some point I would just stop and say, okay, you know, I won't be around. Goodbye. And I don't know. The weird thing was, the night before last, I had a dream of Paul, John's boyfriend, who died sometime after Peter did, around January, I think, or late December, January. And in the dream, he was transforming into something very tiny and something very large, but it was like, or, you know, his normal size, but all in one motion, he was reducing himself into something extremely tiny and fitting into like a pocket of urban landscape or a doorway or a part of a window, or suddenly he'd be big on the street, suddenly he'd be back, suddenly he'd be in a room. But all this happening, you know, very quickly. And then I realized he was trying to hide from me, and I was like, Paul, you know, hello. And when I had him acknowledging that I was seeing him, he just seemed, I don't know, either that he wanted to avoid me or that he didn't want to be seen by me, or was very reserved about talking to me, or shy or something, or embarrassed. And I remember reaching and sort of playing with his tummy through his shirt, and like, you know, pinching him slightly, like choking around. And I don't understand why he was so reserved, why he didn't want to speak to me. riding along the road to Meteor Crater. It's a road off the highway made of a brown material, like a brown asphalt. Roped on both sides with dry red earth. Then fields or plains of scrub brush and occasional loping boulder pocketed by holes, maybe by sand and wind. And in riding, all you can see in the distance is the gentle curve of the earth and the beginnings of mountains way far away in purple tones. But they hug the earth, they're low to the earth, and a sky filled with clouds with veils of rain dropping down at different points, and a hot sun. The sky is only partially filled with clouds, but a very hot sun and a hot wind that buffets the sides of the windows and comes into the open window. And I remember once sitting in a car with some guy and two of us jerking off with the looking through the rear view mirror for any cops that might come up behind us. And in the rear view mirror, there being nothing but empty space and earth, sky, except for one electrical tower, a radar tower, and nothing else but the curve of the earth. And in front, just nothing but hot, hot sun and the whine of insects over in the plains, under the bushes, under rocks, behind rocks, whatever. And every time a car came, either in front of us or as seen through the rearview mirror, we'd have to stop and zip up our pants and act like Joe Tourist, just checking out the landscape. But the sun was so hot that every time a car appeared in the rearview mirror, it was like this blazing reflection of light against the steel and glass. At a rest stop down the road where I'd met the guy, there was a sign that says, "Poisonous snakes and insects inhabit the area, and $1,000 fine for defacing the rocks surrounding the rest stop." But to feel the void or to feel that emptiness in the cities as you come across to this point in the landscape down the road from a place where 30,000 years ago an enormous meteorite impacted onto the face of the earth and left a crater that you could fit a 56-story building into, which was three miles in circumference or a mile across, where the astronauts pretended they were on the moon before going to the moon. And to be down the road from this place where they charge $5 to look at the hole, and be jerking off with this guy, and to be underneath all that stillness, and to feel the vacuum of the landscape, the vacuum of this country's soul, as in all the prefab housing, the cheap architecture. I don't mean in terms of money, but the alienating architecture and the alienating structure of the cities, and the poverty in the streets of those cities. Whereas if you don't have a car, you own poverty, because when you have a car, at least you can ride by it. And I remember riding through one of those cities and just feeling the desperation outside the window along the sidewalks in the hot sunlight, steel pounding skull kind of shit. And to feel this moral void and then be in the natural void, or the untouched void, or the virgin void of landscape. And to be under the hot sun where your skull feels like it's boiling, like the brains are boiling in whatever liquid the skull contains them in, and be jacking off at the sky. Something about the stillness and the heat and the dizziness of getting close to orgasm, and then finally that place of orgasm where you disappear. It's no different in the disappearance of what the soul feels like in this country, or a along the face of the earth at this point.